Father, thank thee again for this wonderful opportunity to be with young people, above all to be in thy presence, the presence of the Lord Jesus, to hear from thee and to allow thy word and thy will to fill us and to feed us and to form us and to flow through our lives. We desire thy help for this session, thine honor and glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus, and that each one here, each of us would learn something, would be refreshed in our souls with truth, that we might embrace the principles of the ground of gathering, the truth concerning the church, the body of Christ, thy house as well. Lead us, help us, and be with us now as we wait upon thee for thy good hand of blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This afternoon we want to take these next 20 minutes to introduce distinctives about the Church of God. And it's a very, very important topic. It is really asking the question, that Brother Ashton also asked last night, what are you doing here? Not just at this camp now, but in the assembly. Why are you where you are and not somewhere else? And you need to know why you are where you are. Because if you understand why you are where you are, then you are going to be able to continue for the glory of God. Then you're going to be like a pillar in the assembly. You're going to really have the privilege of being a wonderful testimony and bearing testimony to the testimony of God. You need to know why you are where you are. Second slide. It's all about the church. And when did it begin? The Lord Jesus, let's turn first of all to an introductory scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Show the whole slide. I'm going to begin with the middle text here on this slide, Matthew 16. It says there in verse 18, Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, he says, I will build my church. He takes full responsibility for building it. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to be a triumphant body, and it's going to be his own making. But it was yet future while he was on earth. And the reason why the church could not be built while the Lord Jesus was on earth is that the church would become a body. But this body would have a head in heaven and the rest of it on earth. And this comes out in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians 1. Please turn to the scriptures quickly. I will not read all of them as we only have, you know, a few minutes. But Ephesians chapter 1. So we need to understand that the church did not exist in the Old Testament, but was something new and special waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And he says he is going to build it. In Ephesians chapter 1, concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, his position, verse 20 for connection. And this great power which was wrought in Christ when he, God, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you have two things here. There's someone who has been gloriously resurrected, set at God's own right hand. He is far above in reality and in every sense of the word, above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And everything is under him, and he's been given to be head over all things to the church. Here is the head, risen, glorified, exalted, but there is a body. And that body is the church. It's very clear. To the church, which is his body. So there is a living organism with a head in heaven. Just like you see, I have a body, I have a head, and I have a body. But the head of the church is where? In heaven. And the body is where? On earth. And they could not exist this reality until Christ was resurrected. And that's why he says, I'll build the church. But this church was actually formed by the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we can read two scriptures to confirm this. One of them is in 1 Corinthians. It's not on the slide, but we need to turn to it quickly. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It's very clear. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Spirit of God has baptized us all, formed us all into this one body. And how many heads we have? One head. Where's the head? Where's the body? When did this take place? Okay, let's turn to Acts 2 to confirm that. Acts 2. Let me go back to Acts 1 first of all, because it's very, very important to connect 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit are you all, what's the next word? Are you all baptized into one body? Okay, let's read Acts 1 and verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, that's the apostles, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be, what's the next word? With what? Not many days hence. All right? So, the apostles were to await in the upper room in Jerusalem, waiting for this moment. And what the moment was? To be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians tells us that by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether there be Jew or Gentile, bond or free. All right, so let's see when this happened. Chapter 2. And verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father that they would be baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. And this is confirmed by the last verse of this chapter. And for the first time, we read now in the history of the apostles of something existing. Verse 47. Acts 2, verse 47. Well, we can read verse 46 for connection. All right, Acts 2:46-47. It says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the, what's the next word? So something has suddenly come into existence as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fulfillment of the Lord's words in Matthew 16, answering to 1 Corinthians 12, and now for the first time, believers are being added to something that was formed. It says they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved, or such as were being saved. So upon salvation, they were added to the assembly. So immediately, as a person is saved, they are added to the church. The one head in heaven, the body on earth, and individuals are being saved and added to the body. So the body is growing day by day. Any questions? Everything is clear so far? Sure? Okay. All right, there's a question here. What does the word baptize mean? Anybody want to help on this? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, let's hear what it says. Let's come. Speak loudly, clearly. Let's go. We need your input. Let's go, quickly. Is shy. To baptize is to immerse, is to place into, to place under. Well, for water, we know the picture is fairly simple, and straightforward. But with the Holy Spirit, and with Moses and the Red Sea, it is a bringing together and immersion into something. Now the agent varies. Sometimes it is water, other times it can be fire, and in this case it is the Spirit of God. He himself is the agent and the actor. Everybody agrees with that? You want to add something, sir? That's good. Well, that's okay? Okay. All right. Let's turn. Well, one of the scriptures we did not read is the one about in Romans, which shows that the church was always in the mind of God, in the heart of Christ. And you have pictures in it in the Old Testament, but it was only now revealed, come to light in the new. And that's why you see the word mystery. The word mystery does not mean something mysterious. It means something hidden, but now revealed. Okay? Let's go on. All right, we come to the name. You can show the whole slide. Yeah. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. How many bodies did we read of in 1 Corinthians 12? By how many spirits? One spirit. Are you all baptized into one body? There's only one body. And as such, it says in Acts 2, the last verse, the Lord added to the church, such as were being saved. Most people use the word church to mean a building. That's correct. I'm going to church or to a gathering sometimes or to a denomination. But we said from Acts 2, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being, what's the word? Saved. So it does not matter if I am saved and I am going to what people call Baptist. I still belong to the one body. If I'm going to Pentecost, a Pentecostal gathering group, there is still one church, one body. Is everybody clear on that? The Lord Jesus only knows of one body, one spirit into one body. And so this expression, like that there's a Presbyterian church with a capital C, is not in the Bible. There's not even a Brethren church. I don't go to the Brethren church. I hope you don't either. There's only one church, and that is the body of Christ. You can have local expressions, but we'll get to that shortly. In the Bible, the word church always speaks of saved people. Never forget Acts 2 and the last verse, 47. Either all saved people of this age or of local gatherings in the community. Now, the Greek word ekklesias means called out ones. Now, there's something interesting I want to share with you I have 5 minutes to wrap up. The Greek word ekklesias means called out ones. But it is also translated as a summary word. What does this called out ones mean? And it is sometimes translated assembly. So write this down for me. The church is the assembly or called out ones. And you need to emphasize these two things. Let's go again. The church is the assembly or called out ones. You have that definition down? If you don't have it written down, at least have it in your head and your heart. What do we mean by called out? Called out from where? Anybody? Called out from the world. And called out to whom? To Christ. So, in exercise, that is what the Lord Jesus is doing with each one who is being saved. They are called out from all their Judaism, from the nations, from Gentiles, and they are brought to himself into the one body. Called out from everything else to himself into the one body. But the word assembly emphasizes the object in being called out. They are gathered to Christ. You're brought to this person. So it's called out from, but called out to. So in the calling out, you need to see two ends. Called out from Jewish community, Gentile links, but called to a person. So that's why it's assembly as well. Brought to Christ. What's the name? Brethren. That you read in the scriptures so often, brethren. It's a wonderful word. You see it in Hebrews 2, in the midst of the assembly. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Go tell my brethren. Brethren is not a name. Can you tell me what it is? Brethren. We are brethren. What is it? It's not a name. It's what? It's a relationship. It's a family word. It's an old-time word for the family. We're brethren. All right? So we're not brethren with a capital P. We're not Plymouth brethren as though we've come from England. And what's the difference? Terms like brethren, Christians, saints are common to all believers. All believers are brethren. So we are part of all the saints. Christians are all the brethren. Saints are all the Christians. So regardless of what word you're using, it's common to all believers. These words don't divide. But when you start using the brethren and the Baptists and the Catholics and the Pentecost and so on, you are splitting up the body, and there is only one body. Now, young people, as we lay hold of these basic truths, we need to understand that God wants us to gather in the good of these principles, knowing that the church began at Pentecost, knowing there's only one body, knowing that we're one family, we're all saints, and we're gathered together to the Lord Jesus, called out from being from Jewish links, from Gentile links, and we're now a wonderful unity. There was a sad situation in Corinth where even amongst the saints, some were very eye conscious. I am of Paul, Apollos, and so on. They were dividing the church. And God says, let's read that expression. Is Christ divided? It's a very important verse. And I'm going to close at this. And Brother Brian will pick up the rest of this because there's so much more to say. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12 and 13. It says, now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And this is a sad, sad commentary. Sometimes we get latched on to individuals. I like Brother Sam. I like Brother Brand. I like Brother Ashton. I want to hear only Brother Ashton. I want to hear Brother so-and-so. Beloved, let us never divide the body of Christ. May God help us to appreciate that we know what the church is and are gathered in a special way from systems, and we are gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we appreciate what we know, that there's something beautiful on earth. And this is going to come out. The bride, the body, the building, all of this is to come. But that to hold on to these principles. This is part of the testimony. What God has shared for Christ is his wonderful church for which he died. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You're precious. You're supremely precious to the Lord Jesus. May we walk in the dignity of this preciousness for his name's sake. Amen. All right, we're going to bow our heads for prayer. God and Father, we thank you for this little introduction. I ask that each one of us might be clear at the start how the church started, what is its calling, into the one body with a wonderful head in heaven who loved it and gave himself for it. May all of us embrace these principles and realize the great love he has for the church. We thank you too now, Father and God, for this meal that thou hast provided for us. We would eat it with thankfulness, and we would ask that we would use our energies to glorify thee. Think of the team who should take care of the cleaning up and the other responsibilities in the camp compound, looking after the bathrooms and so on. We ask that each one of us might accept responsibility to reflect thy goodness and thy grace with us. And we ask that we would all chip in and help with this exercise, that we can go along and enjoy divine things. Thank thee again for thy love. Seek blessings on us all. In Jesus' precious name, amen.